welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the 15th of February, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we want to make it easy for you who folks who cannot listen to the show live. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com. TucsonSentinel.com has our show, along with TucsonCitizen.com. Three places for you to hear the program anytime. We're live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We'll launch this edition of the Buckmaster Show with another in our candidate interview series, spotlighting the candidates running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1, where longtime Supervisor Ann Day is retiring, and that creates an open seat. Today we will introduce you to Allie Miller. Allie is one of four Republicans in the supervisorial race in District 1. Segment 2 comes up at about 12:20. We spotlight the remarkable work of the Eric Height Foundation, named for the TPD officer gunned down in the line of duty 3 years ago. Bottom of the hour, Michael Keith joins me in studio. Mr. Keith heads the Downtown Tucson Partnership. He will tell us about some exciting plans to try to save an historic building downtown. It's a two-story adobe building. Used to be what was called the Marist College building. We'll close out the show with the nutrition reporter Jack Chalam, who will present fascinating new research about probiotics, also known as your gut bacteria. We encourage you to be part of the show by calling 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And now we welcome Allie Miller, candidate for Pima County Supervisor, one of the four Republicans in the race. Allie, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Bill. It's very nice to meet you.
The first thing you say on your website, AllieForSupervisor.com, you say that you never intended to run for political office. What changed your mind?
Well, I've been involved in the first project I got involved with was exploring the Rio Nuevo, the $230 million that disappeared down there, And then I started going to the Board of Supervisor meetings for the last 4 or 5 years, and I just felt that it is time that we stand up and do something. I feel that there are a lot of things wrong in the county. There's money being spent, and we're in debt, and our roads are falling apart. And I said, well, this is it. Someone has to stand up and run for office. So I've decided that I'm that person. And it is something I never intended to do, but I am going forward. I filed my campaign September 1st.
What have you learned so far when you talk to people in the district?
Well, one of the things I've been doing as I go door to door and as I go to meetings, speaking to people, they are very frustrated with what is going on in Pima County. The first thing I hear are, I am sick and tired of my taxes going up. I am very tired of the condition of the roads. And they want something done about it. And people don't trust Pima County government. And I think it's a sad day that we're sitting here and people are so distrustful of our government. And that is one of the number one things that I hear.
Is there money to fix the roads?
Well, when I looked at that budget, I think there's about $37 million. I understand that the excuse is being used that the HERF funds were swept. I think it is exactly that, an excuse.
Yeah, the state highway funds.
That's correct, mm-hmm. The state highway funds. However, the HERF funds were swept from a lot of communities and municipalities around Pima County, including Marana and Oro Valley, and their roads are not nearly in this condition. And the roads have been in poor condition for years. And Pima County should be budgeting for these repairs. And just recently, I was at a Board of Supervisors meeting, and they took $22 million out of the general fund to put towards the justice courts. Now, I think that money would have been better spent on the roads. And in addition to that, they just created a new department full of PR people. and I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 for the next year. And in my opinion, that money could have been put towards road repairs because I believe it is a huge safety issue. And maybe they got all these PR people so that they could answer the phones about the conditions of the roads. Maybe that's why they had to hire so many people. But I don't understand why we have all of these PR people being hired at this time.
Allie Miller is with us, Republican running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. You have a business background.
Yes, I do. I have a master's degree in business administration and an undergrad in finance. My master's is in accounting and finance. They're both from the University of Arizona. I worked for what is now Honeywell. It was Allied Signal Aerospace. I worked there for 12 years, and then I went back to school full time. And after that, I came out of the MBA program and went to work for Intel up in Chandler, because there weren't any jobs available in Tucson, and I work there as a systems engineer.
Let's get to your opinion on some of the hot issues in the district. Of course, Rosemont Mine. Are you in favor of the mine?
I have been out and toured that mine 3 times. I'm very much interested in preserving our quality of life here and the environment. And I look at the fact that they're using 21st century technology. They are recycling the water. They have done all kinds of studies and preparation with the University of Arizona on the types of replanting that they will do. They'll be doing reclamation as they go. So I am for the Rosemont Mine. We need jobs. Our tax base is shrinking. And if we don't get jobs here, the folks that are left are going to be continuing to see rising taxes. And so that is one of the main reasons. And in addition, I think they have met all of the regulatory requirements. And as long as they meet those requirements and they go through the process that is required by law, I believe that we should go ahead and grant those permits and allow Rosemont to move forward.
Another hot issue that will be facing the Pima County Board of Supervisors: proposed state legislation to create a bonding authority, a 6-member bonding authority with representing the cities of Pima County. That would do away with right now several dozen people on the bond committee. Are you for that state legislation as it is written right now?
No, I am not for that legislation as it is written. I think it has some issues. I have looked through it. And, you know, the issue of having 6 people on there given the authority to basically stop any bonds from going forward, I think that's a problem. And there are other items on there that I looked at that I think need to be reworked. And the current bonding policy, I think, that Pima County has, I believe that policy needs to be tightened up as well. So I think there needs to be an investigation and an exploration into what we can do to ensure that the bonding is done appropriately, that the costs are tracked and followed, and that people feel comfortable about how their money is being spent.
790-2040. We could take a quick question for Allie Miller. If you have one for her, she would be glad to answer it. Otherwise, we continue right along with Allie. And you talk about rebranding Pima County. Does this have to do with the business community and the way it's perceiving Pima County?
Well, the first thing I see with Pima County is that I haven't been able to find a strategic plan. And without a strategic plan, we don't really know how to brand ourselves. And there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good work. There's 80 boards, commissions, and committees. The problem with that, when you don't have common goals, you're not going to be able to come to get everybody on the same page and rebrand Pima County. First, we need to define ourselves. What do we want to be? And then work from there and use a strategic plan, a very simple one. I believe the more complex you make it, the more difficult it is to get there. But something simple that we can work towards making Pima County a better place, because it is a beautiful place to live. That's why I live here. And the problem is that we've let the areas of Pima County, the roads, the infrastructure deteriorate. And it is not good when we have potential employers come in and they see the condition of the roads. And as you walk into the Board of Supervisors, you'll see people laying around on benches. That's not a good image for Pima County. And the other thing is, we've sent a red flag up across the nation that we are a downright hostile environment to do business in, and we need to stop that, and we need to work with people when they come in here to do business.
Leadership, you mentioned that as one of your issues. It starts with at the top, and I wonder, how do you feel about the leadership of Chuck Huckleberry?
Well, that's the problem. The leadership should be in the hands of the Board of Supervisors. They should be setting the policy, and right now they are not doing that. So I think that I hold the responsibility with the Board of Supervisors. They are the ones who should be setting policy, and Mr. Huckleberry should be executing that policy. Currently, I see Mr. Huckleberry setting policy, and I think that's the problem in Pima County, and I think that is where a lot of distrust comes in, when you have one individual who is in charge of everything. So I think if we get the board back on track where they're setting the policy, I think you will see a lot of that distrust disappear.
What's this experience been like for you running for office, coming from the business world?
Well, it's been a fascinating experience. I've met a lot of interesting people along the road, and it's difficult. It's very hard work. I have formed a whole new respect for anyone who puts themselves out there to run for office, because you are in the public spotlight and you are working very, very hard. Anyone who runs for office is working very, very hard. And it has been a very good experience, because I've met a lot of new people. And as you know, as we were discussing before the show, I love to talk and I love meeting new people. And I've met
helps,
a lot of great people.
I think
people.
when you're a politician, I think it helps that you like to talk. What will separate you then it looks like we'll have four candidates on the Republican primary, one on the Democratic side. What separates you then from your other three Republican opponents?
Well, I think the main thing that separates me from them is that I am, in fact, not a politician. I am a business person, and I am going to be working as an advocate for the taxpayers and doing what is right for the taxpayers. If we're going to invest money, we need to make sure we're getting a return on that investment for the taxpayers. And so I think that while several of my opponents are political individuals, they've been involved in politics for years, I have not. And I think that is a strength, because it brings a fresh new face and a fresh new group of ideas and a whole new way of thinking about things. I think about things totally different than I don't come at it from a political aspect, and I don't politicize every single statement that I make, as many people that I've met along the way understand. So I think I engage and connect with the citizens, because they are tired of political gamesmanship.
Okay, Allie Miller, and folks can get more about you at allieforsupervisor.com, is that correct?
That's correct. That's my website. They can also connect with me on Facebook, and that is Allie for Supervisor. And I have my phone number on my website, and I hope people contact me. I'd love to answer all their questions.
Thanks a lot. Allie Miller, Republican candidate, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Coming up now on 1218 on the Wednesday edition, the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back after we hear from some of the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 3 years after Tucson police officer Eric Height was shot and killed by a man who led authorities on a crosstown shooting spree, the foundation named in his honor has opened a daycare center for law enforcement and military families. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Eric Height's widow, Noemi Height, who opened the center after creating the Eric Height Foundation, which was established to operate the daycare center and provide other outreach programs for those families. And the Eric Height Foundation is going to be holding its second annual 5K fun run and 2 mile family fun walk for those that don't want to do the run on March the 3rd at 8:30 in the morning at Reed Park. And for more information, you can go to the EricHeightFoundation.org. Noemi joins us now. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Bill, for having me this afternoon.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you, and certainly you have gone through a lot of tragedy with the loss of Eric, but you've tried to carve out something that has a very positive impact.
Yes, that's correct. We have to turn the bad into the good and see how we can be positive, no matter, you know, what tragedy comes to our lives, and just show our children that we can do it.
When you looked around for a service or foundation that where there was a need, the daycare center for law enforcement sort of jumped off the page at you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was in Tucson Police Department with Eric for 4 years, and we experienced that need. And after losing him, of course, I'm all by myself now and taking and raising our daughter, almost one back then. And again, I knew that there was a need for this, and not just for Tucson Police Department, but all the first responders families. They all work 24/7 and those odd shifts. And I said, you know, when Eric, when all this happened and back in 2008, all the departments came together. Border Patrol, Sheriff Department, Fire Department, Tucson Police Department, they all became one department. And I said, well, it has to be a program for one department, for all of them together.
What are the particulars about the center? Where is the center located, and how does someone get take advantage of the service?
Yeah, because of the nature of who we serve, we try to not disclose the location. We are on the east side of Tucson,
okay,
and you know, the information is on our website to call the office, the Eric I. Foundation office, and that's how they can identify themselves, tell us, you know, who they work for, and answer a couple of questions that we have, and then we can go ahead and give them some information on the program.
Now, you're going to be trying to raise some funds at the second annual fund run. Where will those funds go, Noemi?
100% of what we raise will go towards the child care center.
So this makes it the price is reasonable then for the there's a small cost.
There's a fee, yes, for the parents to pay. It's a very reasonable fee that they pay, and then we raise funds to complement whatever we need to for the operation.
And so there's no registration fee?
No registration, no contract. It's whatever you need, the service, that's what you pay for.
Tell us a little bit about you and Eric. Where did you meet, how has your life, what have these last few years been like for you?
You know, we met back in Honduras. I'm originally from Honduras when he was in the Air Force. He spent 21 years serving his country. We moved to Tucson in 2000, and he retired from Davis Monthan, and he wanted to go and serve his community with Tucson Police Department. It's been very hard for me, my family, to move, you know, from tragedy to have a new normal life, and raising our daughter by myself. And I just grateful that I have great friends, but we don't have family. That's what happens when you move around in the military. You move so much and ended up in a place with no family around. But it's been tough. But I appreciate all the support from these departments, for my family, for my daughter, and of course people and friends, close friends that have been supportive.
What a wonderful legacy though for you now, raising this child, your daughter
yes.
four and a half.
Yeah.
The daughter was only one when this horrible incident happened, but now this is really something that your daughter can certainly be very proud of, and it's a wonderful legacy in the honor of the child's father.
That's right.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, we are the most responsible people as parents to raise our children. What are we actually teaching them? And that's what my goal was, to teach her that no matter what tragedy comes in life, because it's hard, life is hard, we just have to keep on going and being positive.
What can you tell us about the event? Do folks have to pre-register for this second annual 5K fun run? And I think I would be in the category, Noemi, of the 2-mile family walk, fun walk. I think I'll pass on the run, but the walk sounds fun.
Yes. Yeah. On our website, www.ericheitfoundation.org.
And that's HITE.
That's correct. Yeah. And Eric with a K, Eric. And the registration form is online. They can pay online or they can print it out, mail it to us with a $20 check or $30 the day of the race. So if you want to take advantage of $20, that ends tonight on the 15th, will be $25 tomorrow until the day of the race. And that's just a way. It's a family event, not just for runners, but whole family can come. Kids, there will be a kids' race as well, and it's going to be fun. Fire department will be there with their trucks.
That's great.
And TPD with all the displays.
Great. It's a great cause. That's E R I K for Eric, and then HITE foundation.org for more information. Well, congratulations. You're really doing great work, Noemi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show, we're going to talk about downtown and possibly preserving a very historic building. It's an unusual building, a two-story adobe downtown. We'll find out all about that as we continue with The Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday. Please stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman now saying crude oil exports to Europe have not been cut off. Iranian TV earlier reported the cut had been made. The White House says Iran's trying to distract attention from the damage that international sanctions are already having. Western nations are pressuring Tehran over its nuclear program. Russia's foreign minister says blaming Western members of the UN Security Council for the failure to reach agreement on a resolution about Syria. He says they ignored Moscow's suggestion that Syrian rebels as well as government troops pull out of conflict areas. The man in line to be China's next president is assuring American business leaders that Beijing welcomes U.S. efforts to assert influence in the Asia-Pacific region. But Vice President Xi Jinping says Washington must also respect the interests and concerns of China in its own neighborhood. More details at SRNnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, for more than a decade, the historic Morris College building has sat vacant and fallen badly into disrepair. Now downtown advocates and historic preservationists, joined by Michael Keith, head of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, say now is the time to act to save the former parochial school for boys, which sits right in the heart of downtown across from the Tucson Convention Center. And Michael Keith is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Michael, good to see you.
Thanks, Bill.
I think that you're to be commended for stepping up. A lot of folks have seen that two-story adobe. It's an unusual building because it is two stories, and there's a lot of history there, but it has really kind of, it's in bad shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in bad shape, but you're right. I mean, this is an incredible building. It's the last three-story unreinforced adobe standing in Arizona. It was just recently placed on the National Historic Register. It certainly played a very important role in Tucson's downtown history, the first segregated school, grade school in Tucson. I think Art Moreno came out of that school, believe it or not. It's part of the Catholic diocese. It's part of downtown. It's part of everything that we are.
Well, you have a background in preservation. What's it going to take to get this building to a point where it could be developed?
Well, and because of that background, I look at any building as four walls and a roof, so I'm not particularly worried about that structure. It is going to cost money to do a steel structure with inside the walls to support the roof and make the adobe walls actually non-bearing curtain walls. It's hard to estimate. The stucco on the outside was sprayed on in the 70s with that company that came through and did that all over town. It's got asbestos in it. But I think maybe $1 million to bring it back to just the shell, but the church is willing to donate the property and some land. So it's actually, you know, financially could work with very little support from the outside.
A lot of possibilities for the building.
Yeah. It's a great building. It could be a number of things. I've done a couple treatments on it with my developer hat on and really looked hard at a boutique hotel and bar restaurant in the basement. The basement's an incredible space. It's completely surrounded by windows, and it's just this maybe with the best unknown space in downtown.
The building itself, we're talking about, 1915, is that?
That's right.
Yeah, and it's Spanish colonial style for folks that have, they would recognize it, I'm sure, because it's right next to the cathedral and right by the convention center. So its location to the convention center alone is very nice and very optimal.
Yeah, and that's where the opportunities come, not only for the events there, but its association with the church for weddings and quinceañeras, the Gem and Mineral Show alone for 3 weeks there. They select vendors could display outside or downstairs or in their rooms. The El Tour, I mean, the list is fairly endless. For a small boutique hotel with maybe 20 rooms.
Michael Keith is with us, CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And I know we talked, Michael, after you did a report, I think it was November of 2010, on kind of an overview of downtown. Where are we right now as far as putting a dollar figure on what has been going on downtown?
Well, that report identified about $120 million of private investment in the downtown. 65 of it was a TEP building. But that other 60 was small entrepreneurs that were coming in downtown. So we decided it was time to look at that again, and we're just compiling that report as we speak. But it looks like there's another 30 or so businesses that have opened up since we did that report, and we hope to have a number on that maybe as early as next week and a square footage number, but it hasn't stopped.
30 business, if it is about 30, we've had a portion of that is some restaurants that have done very well.
Yeah, well, Playground, as you know, is just hit another home run, Cade Malinsky. They There's plans for a market at the base of the TEP building. There's somebody's looking at steak in the neighborhood to reopen that. Their Thule's is going to open up over by the Providence building. I mean, it's actually a nice long list. We've had retailers come in, too. There's two more places that just opened up in the last month, an optical place and a antique store. And things are really happening on a lot of fronts. And we should talk a little bit about the housing stuff that's coming.
A lot of housing?
Yeah, the student housing, which I think we've spoken to mm-hmm. before and you've addressed before, but now we're starting to see private sector housing. There's a project that was in the Star that's going on behind the Chase Bank building in the parking lot there. 39 units, two floors of office, retail. The Armory Park Senior Center that's being replaced with a new building on the west side is reportedly under contract to go market rate housing. There's another project that we heard of that may include market rate apartments. So we could see a couple hundred market rate apartments and something like 500 student beds down there in the next 18 months or so.
Mayor Rothschild got a lot of applause at his State of the City address yesterday when he said it's time to for both the Rio Nuevo Board and the City Council to resolve that ongoing dispute. It really has to be resolved, doesn't it?
Yeah, but ironically, and sometimes these things just work out, their timing might be perfect. And by the time we build up this rather organic economic groundswell, they could really be the cherry on the sundae. They could come in at the right time with the right amount of money and the right focus and do a couple big projects that absolutely cement downtown.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because right now you've got private enterprise driving what's going on downtown. And I think that's optimal to have that as a key. Other cities have found that's really where it's at.
Yeah, that's sustainable. Now, some cities try to do the big public works and think that's going to bring the small investors. And we looked at doing that with the TEP field that went elsewhere. But I think this is the kind of genuine market-driven economic expansion that's going to be with us, and we're not going to go back. We are the next hot city in the West.
What about the Gem Show folks? Were they happy generally?
You know, from the ones I talked to, they had perfect weather. I think they're very happy. I think the streetcar actually is going to play a major role there, and they'll begin to redistribute their function, I think, along that 4 mile corridor a little bit more, but I think that's really going to also cement that relationship.
How disruptive is the work on the modern streetcar going to be for the downtown merchants?
It's hard to say. We're very concerned about that. We're going to be very proactive on that. It's going to take a lot of coordination, and I think everybody knows we need to go through it to get to the other side. And finally get to that moment and create that district. But it's going to have an effect, and on festivals and events too.
Michael Keith is with us, CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And for folks who do not know about the partnership, tell me what it is.
It's a public-private partnership that was created in 1999. There are hundreds of them across the country. Most cities have one. And they're put together to act as a catalyst for the redevelopment of their downtowns.
Getting back to the Marist College building, what is the next step, Michael Keith, now in getting this moving?
Well, the article was terrific, and it spurred a lot of interest. And this is a request for interest that we've put out. So we've asked people to come through, look at the building, and tell us what their ideas are. And then if we think the ideas are sufficient, we'll go out for an RFP on it. And based on that, we'll go back and look for what funding sources could be available, public and private.
Does the building have good bones? I mean, it is fixable, right?
Yeah. Again, as a developer and a builder, I always ask my question, that litmus test would be, if I didn't have this job, but I buy that building, absolutely. Yeah. I think this is a great opportunity. Somebody else like me is going to look at it and fall in love with it.
Because it is unusual to have a two- or three-story adobe building. At one time, I guess before the convention center, we had several of these buildings in the downtown area.
Right, yeah. We did. And when you're looking at creating an authentic one-of-a-kind downtown, you really want to look at your existing architectural inventory and see if you can capitalize on that. Part of our facade program addresses that, trying to uncover these buildings back to their original exteriors. Well, this, if you want to create a boutique hotel industry that's unique and different from Portland or different from Austin, you've got to find buildings like the Marist or the Pioneer or even the Westerner Hotel building and see if you can breathe life back into them and start promoting Tucson based on this just totally one-of-a-kind places to stay.
It is a unique destination, Tucson, Arizona. Michael Keith, thank you very much. Where can people get more information about the Downtown Tucson Partnership? Do you want to direct them to your website?
We'd love to. I think all you have to do is type in Downtown Tucson, and we come popping up. But downtowntucson.org is the actual address.
Okay, Michael Keith, good to see you. Thanks a lot, and good luck with the preservation of the Marist College.
Thanks. Bill, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Coming up now, 12:45, we're going to talk health with our nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom. That is coming up next on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Welcome back to Buckmaster. I am Bill Buckmaster, 12:48 with you on a Wednesday afternoon. And once a month, we talk with the nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom. I always love to talk nutrition about the things that are good for you, right? New studies show that your gut bacteria known as probiotics play a major role in maintaining good health. That's the lead story in the February edition of the Nutrition Reporter published by Jack Challum. Based in Tucson, Jack is a personal nutrition coach, and he's one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition, and he is the best-selling author of more than 20 books, including his latest book, No More Fatigue. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing well.
You look good.
Thank you, Bill. That's you good. Do too.
Thank you very much. Well, I happen to take a probiotic in the morning and in the evening, and apparently, according to your lead story, it's the right direction.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't have a sense of scale here when it comes to probiotics and the beneficial bacteria in our guts. And I often tell people, do the math. We've got 70 trillion cells in our body. We've got 10 times that number of bacteria in our guts.
Oof.
And it's kind of like, who's helping who here?
Yeah.
But there's been a whole bunch of research published over the last couple months. And some of this, you know, the origins of this go back about 20 years when some researchers in Europe realized that these gut bacteria really keep our immune system humming along. And that means they help us fight infections. And when we take an antibiotic, even though it destroys the bad germs, it really does a little ding in our immunity. Some of the recent research shows that these probiotics may help protect against allergies. Big issue here, especially with the spring and the pollen starting more than a month ahead of time.
And the two studies that you cite recently linked gut health to mood and behavior disorders.
Yeah, this is interesting because the gut bacteria seem to influence brain levels of at least one neurotransmitter. And my hunch is if they influence one, they probably influence more than one.
Jack Challum is with us. If you have a nutrition question, perhaps you have a question about a probiotic or any other supplement question, 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Those studies pointed out also about, I think there was something about autism in there as well, right?
Yeah, this disruption of gut bacteria. And they get disrupted not just by antibiotics, but you know, junk food, strong association between that type of disruption and autism. And one of the studies found that 37% of people with autism had this disruption in gut bacteria. Again, you can sort of compensate for that by taking probiotic supplements. You can find those at any health food store. Good quality yogurts, fermented foods, all help us maintain these gut bacteria.
Does the Greek yogurt have more than the regular yogurt?
That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing every morning, the Greek yogurt. But I know it has more protein than the regular yogurt.
Yeah, and it's a little more tart, and it's easier to find sugar-free Greek yogurt than it is most other brands.
We had a question, are there certain brands better than others with Greek yogurt?
I like the Fahi brand. It's spelled F-A-G-E. Trader Joe's sells it.
F-A-G-E?
Yeah, and in Greek it's pronounced Fahi.
Okay. Diet and cell phone addiction. This is an interesting article that you have in the Nutrition Reporter.
Yeah, and this has been one of my issues for a number of years. It's not just an addiction to cell phones, but part of a larger addiction to technology. And it influences really how our brains work. And combined with the typical bad American diet, which is deficient in a lot of good nutrients, B vitamins, fish oils that we need for the brain. It's really a bad combination affecting our behavior in a lot of negative ways. It's not just the cell phones or the technology, but I'm convinced it's the combination with bad diets, which further impair brain function. I mean, it's just not sensible to be texting at 70 miles an hour.
No, that is very potentially dangerous for your health.
But people tend to lose their judgment on bad diets.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Question about probiotics for Jack Chalom. Go ahead.
My name is Hal.
Hey, Hal.
I think I'm on? Okay. My question is, I understand what probiotics do for you, but how do they work? What is a probiotic?
Okay, good question.
Well, when you buy them in supplement or capsule form at let's say, a health food store, they basically help repopulate the gut with good bacteria. In doing so, they literally force out the bad disease-causing microorganisms. So that's essentially how they work. And then they secrete these protein-like compounds that seem to stimulate our immunity. All good stuff.
And getting back to the antibiotics, many people are taking them this time of year for virus, I guess the virus is, if they have some kind of a bacterial infection this in the winter, they take a Z-Pak or one of these antibiotics. And the problem is they really do kill the good bacteria.
Yeah, and antibiotics are nonspecific, meaning that they basically kill a whole range of not just bad but good bacteria. And one of the things I often recommend is take a quality probiotic with the antibiotic, doesn't reduce the effectiveness of the drug, and then continue taking the probiotic for at least another month. And then again, supplement with a high quality yogurt, like a Greek yogurt, other fermented foods, which are basically fermented because of bacteria.
Another question coming in, would probiotics be recommended for someone with intestinal distress? Essentially, is it, I guess it's never too late to begin on probiotics.
No, it's never too late. And yeah, the research is great in terms of intestinal disorders, intestinal infections. For women, vaginal infections seem to improve with probiotics.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Nutrition Reporter, your current edition. I wanted to go to, I want to talk about the vitamin B and brain health. That's right. More research suggests B vitamins may protect the brain. Would we be talking about perhaps a daily B complex? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And you would find the B complex in a multivitamin. This was an interesting study of seniors that found that people who were given a moderately high potency B complex supplement did better in terms of cognition, specifically in terms of better memory. The B vitamins are needed to make some of the neurotransmitters. So they directly affect how our brains function. And again, if people are eating a lot of fast foods, junk foods, they're not getting a lot of these vitamins.
Yes, several recent studies found that high intake of some of the B complex vitamins might reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Australian researchers have found that supplementation can lead to improvement in memory among seniors. So that's that might be a good reason to take a B complex.
Yeah, the B complex, and if someone's really concerned about their brain function or their moods, fish oils, another biggie. So I often will tell people, take B complex and also take fish oils.
How about vitamin E? You write about vitamin E in this issue of the Nutrition Reporter.
This is interesting because the first use of vitamin E in cardiology goes back to the 1940s, and Time magazine raved about it back about 1945 or 1946. And for years, researchers couldn't figure out exactly why vitamin E works, but it seems to help stimulate cell repair, especially cells in muscle tissue. And of course, our heart is probably the most important muscle in the body.
And vitamin E's kind of gotten a bad rap, hasn't it?
Yeah, it seems to go in and out of favor every few years. And I've been really a strong believer in vitamin E and taking it since I was 19 years old.
And how much do you take a day?
About 400 IU of what's called the mixed tocopherols and tocotrienols. And this is, you know, this refers to the eight different components of the vitamin E molecule.
Jack Chalom, where can folks get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter?
I've got a whole year's worth of back issues up on the website, nutritionreporter.com.
Jack, we will see you next month. Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you come down to the studio and talk with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountant, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at Flowers Rieger, that's RIEGER.com. Good people over there. They will help you out during this tax season. Everybody needs a good CPA, and my CPA is Michael C. Flowers. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Wednesday edition. We will be back with you at 12 noon tomorrow for another edition. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.